What we have been studying over the last number of weeks, actually a couple of years now, we've been doing an Old Testament survey built around Leviticus chapter 26, the five cycles of chastisement. Where we are currently studying is we're dealing with the last of those chastisement cycles for the nation of Israel, and in particular, the very last section of that cycle of chastisement. And in dealing with that, the fifth cycle of chastisement, the books of the Bible that focus on the nation of Israel during the tribulation period, that's the books of Hebrews through Revelation. Let me give you for example. Let's say the rapture was to happen today. By the way, would anybody be upset if it happened today?
Well, after the potluck.
Yeah, after the potluck. Yeah, there's some pretty good food waiting, okay? But okay. But if the rapture was to happen today, there's a whole bunch of prophecy that still yet has to be fulfilled. And in fact, the majority of prophecy still yet has to be fulfilled. The nation of Israel's got to go through the tribulation period. And the books of Hebrews through Revelation, the doctrine in those books are going to equip the nation of Israel, those that will believe the Bible, to go through that time period. And so what we're doing now, we're doing a real basic, very, very broad overview of the books of Hebrews through Revelation. Not in detail by any means at this point. Just a real broad overview. After this dispensation of grace is over with, the event that terminates the dispensation of grace is, of course, the catching away of the saints to be in the heavenly places. And then the prophetic program that was in effect when the dispensation of grace interrupted or came into effect, that prophetic program picks up right where it left off. So it's almost as if you just fold the chart back over. And then you have a complete program there, a complete sentence. We've said it before. Those of you that are English teachers, you understand that if you have a parenthesis in a sentence, you can take the information in the parentheses out and you still have a complete sentence. So you want to see and understand that the prophetic program, God's plan for this earth with the nation of Israel, is a complete program in and of itself, even independent of the body of Christ. And that the body of Christ is a complete program in and of itself, even independent of the nation of Israel. The thing that ties it all together is, of course, the cross work of Christ. It's the same blood, same Savior, just two different realms, heaven and earth. Okay? Go ahead.
Just a quick question. The chart shows that immediately following the rapture, the next event is the 7 years.
Okay.
Is there a possibility that there's a 70-year wait before that starts?
No.
Click, 7 years.
No. It's not. But see, so you said two different things, okay? So you said, is there a possibility at 70 years? No. But is it immediate? No. The reason it's depicted like that on the chart is just because it's a chart. The thing that ends the dispensation of grace is the catching away of the saints. But the catching away of the saints, the rapture, does not immediately start the tribulation period. The event that starts the tribulation period is the signing, is the great falling away that 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about. That's what starts that last week. So is there a gap between the rapture and the beginning again of prophecy? The answer is there's no gap between the rapture and the beginning again of prophecy. But is there possibly a gap between the rapture and the start of the 70th week? Yes, definitely. Okay? Now, anyway, and that's a good question to just try to clarify some of those things there. Go ahead.
But my understanding of Acts chapter 7, I thought that was the end of the eighth.
It was the end of that 1 year extension that Christ added to the time schedule.
So then, is there another possible short gap here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is. Okay. Okay. Well, now, that's true, by the way. We're out of here, you know. Okay, so when you think of the book of Hebrews through Revelation, and we talked about this briefly last week, I just want to do it again. Some of you weren't here. Okay, think about the books. You've got Hebrews, what comes next? You can look in your index if you want, okay? What comes next? You have James. Okay, then you've got Peter. You've got John. And then Revelation. Okay. Now, there is, of course, a lot of confusion and some disagreement, even among grace people, as to whether or not the book of Hebrews is to and about you as members of the body of Christ, right? There are those that would say that Hebrews is to us and about us, and then others that would say it's not. How would you decide, by the way? Yeah, you read it. Remember, your authority is always what? What saith the Scripture? Romans 4:3. What saith the Scripture? If in the book of Hebrews, the distinction between the Jew and the Gentile is in effect, let me say it a different way. If in the book of Hebrews, the middle wall of partition is up, if the middle wall of partition is in place in the book of Hebrews, then is the book of Hebrews to you, and is it about the dispensation of grace? It can't be. Because during the dispensation of the grace of God, is the distinction between Israel and the Gentiles, is it in place or has it been leveled? Yeah, the middle wall of partition is broken down. Ephesians 2 says so. When you read the book of Hebrews, the middle wall partition is clearly still up. The distinction between Israel and the Gentiles is in place. And we saw last time that the book of Hebrews, where the book of Hebrews picks up, is exactly where Acts 7 left off. Okay, we saw that last week. Now, so I want you just to keep that in mind. The Hebrews is written to who?
Jews.
How about to the Hebrews? And that's not you. Who does James say he's writing to?
12 tribes.
Okay, he said he's writing to the 12 tribes. Okay. Now, if Peter was going to write an epistle, who would Peter write to? He would write to the 12 tribes. Well, why would you say that? What verse would you use to say that? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, for example. But look at Galatians 2. Is that what you're thinking of? Galatians 2. Yeah, look over to Galatians 2. Look over to Galatians in chapter number 2 here. Remember, always make sure that when you come to a conclusion or when you're thinking as far as how to decide something, make sure you got a verse. Make sure you got a verse that tells you that. So look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 6. And you'll see the phrase, but of these who seemed to be somewhat. See that phrase, these who seemed to be somewhat. Whatsoever they wore, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Okay, question. According to the word of God, which gospel was committed to Peter? The gospel of circumcision. That's connected with the kingdom gospel, right? Now look at the next verse. Verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of who? Who's that? According to your Bible, Peter is the apostle of who? Circumcision. If Peter's going to write a book, who's he going to write it to? See that? Peter's the apostle of the circumcision. He writes 1 and 2 Peter to Israel. He's not writing to the body of Christ. He's not writing to the Gentiles. And he is writing, when you read the books of 1 and 2 Peter, the middle wall of partition is still in place. It's up. Say that again. That phrase they do, the one phrase that the modern translations do alter a little bit, is look at verse 7 again. It says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel, see where it says of in your King James Bible, the other ones will say the gospel to.
Some say the gospel for.
Yeah, and so in some of the new translations, they have the concept that it's the same gospel to both people. So the same gospel was given to Peter, the same gospel was given to Paul. They're just to preach that same message to two different groups of people. Okay? That obviously is not what's going on here. Now look at verse 9. It says, And when James, Cephas, and John... Now, what's interesting about these guys? James, Cephas, and John. What's interesting about these guys?
The writers of the rest of the books.
Interesting. James, Cephas, and John. And then, of course, John writes Revelation. So it's pretty clear that this section in your Bible, Hebrews through Revelation, really has its doctrinal setting and impact during that time when Israel is going through the tribulation period. Now, how many of you here this morning, for example, think that you can lose your salvation? Anybody here think you can lose your salvation? I hope you'll say no. But you realize, and therefore, are you eternally secure in Christ?
Yes, if you're saved.
Okay, yeah, if you're justified by the blood of Christ alone, right? Can you turn your back on Christ?
Yes.
The answer is yes. And if you turn your back on Christ, are you still justified? Are you still in Christ?
Yes.
Yes, you are. But look at Hebrews as an example. If you believe that the book of Hebrews, and when I say you, I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm just, you know, we're trying to teach through the information here. But look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And look at verse 6. Hebrews 3, 6. And it says this. Hebrews 3, 6. And it says this. But Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we... What's the next word there? If we do what? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm for how long?
To the end.
To the end of what? Exactly. In the context, it's the end of that tribulation period. Christ told them, Matthew 24, He that shall endure unto the end. Remember that? That verse demonstrates that Israel, they had to hang on. See, that verse can't be talking about you. And if you think the book of Hebrews is to you, then you have to deal somehow with that verse. If you think that that book is to you and about you as a member of the body of Christ, you need to be able to explain how on the one hand you can believe in eternal security, that you could walk away and still be in Christ, and yet this verse, it wouldn't teach that. So what you just leave Hebrews to the Hebrews. Just leave it. It's okay. Understand what I'm saying? It's all right. Just leave it to the Hebrews because that's who it's for. If you look at verse 14 of that same chapter, 3:14, he says this, but we are made partakers of Christ if we do what? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, twice he said that just in this one chapter. Well, so what if they don't? Yeah, they're... Okay, just remember this, that their salvation, the offer to Israel, it's a different salvation than what God offers to you today. You, when you trusted the blood of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, you got placed into the church, the body of Christ. It's a new creature, Ephesians 2 says so. Israel was a nation. And so God was going to deal with them on the basis of being a nation. He doesn't put them in the body of Christ. He doesn't make them one body like you in your identity in Christ. He deals with them completely. Therefore, that's how you can read verses like this and understand in their mind they're not thinking in terms of eternal security in one body united with Christ forever in the heavenly places. They're thinking as a nation they're going to enter into that literal, physical, earthly kingdom. And that's the way they were supposed to think. Because that's what was promised to them. Now, last week when we were together, we went over Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 in some detail. What did we learn from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that the nature, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, that the nature of the book of Hebrews is? What kind of a call is in the book of Hebrews?
Warning.
It's a warning, is exactly correct, Mike. The book of Hebrews is a warning. It's a call to the Hebrews at large, scattered out there. And it says, you know what? Chapter number 1, it gave all the credentials of the Son and why they therefore should listen to Him. So chapter number 2 comes along and says, hey, if under the law there was no escape, then how shall we escape if we neglect the Son who's now speaking? So the book of Hebrews is a warning to the nation. Go ahead.
The two if we's in chapter 3, those are referring to the nation.
That's correct. It's the Hebrews at large.
I should know this, but are there spots where he talks about an individual Jew losing his salvation anywhere in the Bible?
No. No. Go ahead.
It's
a national. These are national issues. Nathan, go ahead.
The few Jews that are being saved today would be a part of the body.
That is correct. Exactly correct. Yeah. Yeah, exactly correct. Yeah. So during the dispensation of God's grace, anybody, Jew or Gentile alike, from the Apostle Paul until the rapture, Jew or Gentile alike, anybody alike that trusts in the blood of Jesus Christ alone for their justification, they are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Okay? After this dispensation of grace is over with, then the body of Christ is no longer on earth. So anybody who gets saved after that, they can't be put in the body. Because the body's not here anymore. Just like the body didn't exist on planet earth before Paul, well, once the rapture happens, then the body of Christ is in heavenly places. So once historically, once time-wise, you move over in, you move after the present dispensation of grace, then the issue is back to Israel's program. There's an offer for both Jew and Gentile, but it's not an offer that's free and all alike. Because remember, at that time, the Gentiles had to come and bless Israel. They had to become proselytes through Israel's prophetic program. Okay? All right. So,
back to his question. Did I hear right that there's no record of any individual having lost their salvation?
No. Okay. Ask your question again. You said, is there a record of any individual saved, justified Jew in any of Israel's program ever losing their salvation? The answer is no. What's that? They were never justified people. See, if you meant by your question, was a justified person, could they ever lose their salvation? How? If they're justified, you never can lose your salvation. You have to make the distinction between verses that are speaking about an individual, which is why you asked the question, as compared to the nation. Look, maybe to clarify a little bit, go with me to Acts 3. And Tom, you had a question or a thought there. That is not correct. Yeah, that is not correct. Yeah, that is not correct. The justification of the nation, that happens at the second coming of Christ. The justification of individuals happens the moment they believe what God says. Abraham was justified in Genesis 15, even though in Genesis 16 he goes off and serves the world, briefly.
The little flock would be justified.
That's correct. Yes, sir. No, they continue in their performance to do what? Whoever shall break one of these least commandments shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. Whosoever shall do and teach shall be called greatest. See that? So they had faith and works. You have faith alone. Works are in both programs for different reasons and for different motivations. You work today. Why? To get saved? To prove you're saved? Just because of gratitude, period. Just because of gratitude, that's all. And interestingly enough, they'll do the same. But there's definitely that aspect that they're going to work to gain rewards. Remember the Lord Jesus said that when he there was a certain nobleman who went to a far country to receive for himself the kingdom and return. And he said to his servants, occupy till I come. He gave the one 10 pounds, the other 5 pounds, the other one. What did the guy with the 10 do? He was faithful with it. What did the guy with 5 do? He was faithful with it. What did the guy with 1 do? He buried it. So when the Lord returns, the guy who was faithful with the 10 pounds, what's the Lord do? He gives him 10 cities. Literally, physically, that guy is going to be the governor over 10 cities on the planet. The guy that was faithful with five, what does he get? He gets 5 cities. The guy that has 1, his stuff's taken away from him. He just stays a servant. The entire kingdom. So one of the reasons that they did work in that program is because they were going to receive rewards directly proportional to their work. See what's going on there? No, you receive a reward. They're going to get rewards, plural. It's a different concept, okay? So you work.
I don't know if I'd want to be the mayor over five cities of Jews.
They'll all be justified people, though. Okay, at that time. All right. Now, again, back to the issue of individual and national. Look at Acts 3, just as an example. Acts 3. Peter is preaching to the nation here. Peter is preaching to the nation here. And he says at verse 17, Acts 3:17. He says, and now, what's the next word there? Whenever Paul uses the word brethren, Paul is talking about justified people. Right? Yeah. Paul never calls unsaved people brethren. Peter does. Because he's speaking to his national brethren. Speaking to the nation here. When he says, verse 17, and now brethren, he's not talking about only justified Jews in Israel's program. He's speaking to the nation here. They're his brethren. They're his kinsmen according to the flesh. See what's going on? So he's speaking to the nation. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it as did your rulers. These guys are not justified people yet. He says, but those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his holy prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore. See, he can't be talking to justified Jews when he tells them to repent. He's calling the nation to repent here. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Okay, what's the next word? When the times of refreshing shall come. He is offering the national day of atonement to the nation here. So, back to your question, Tom, and maybe this is what you were thinking of here. The nation is going to receive their atonement when Christ returns to set up the kingdom. Those out of the nation who refuse to believe, they're going to be made his enemies. I'm sorry, the enemies, since they are enemies, they're going to be made as his footstool, like Psalms 110 says, at his second coming. So there definitely is going to be the purging out of the nation, but what you're going to have left is going to be that righteous nation of Israel. So we want to just be careful that you don't want to think of their justification gospel message like Paul's justification gospel message, because it isn't the same thing. The offer is different. Did you have a question, Mark? Okay, all right. All right. Okay, so now let's do this then. Let's go back, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3 now. Hebrews chapter 3. And let's see if we can get through this here. I gave you a homework assignment last week to read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Everybody did their homework, right? Go like this. Go on. You're all A students now. Well, why weren't you at class? Come on. Come on. All right. If you'll get this out of the book of Hebrews, I promise you this will change your whole thinking about the book of Hebrews. There's a little phrase that appears in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Right, Keith?
Right.
You betcha. Keith knows known this stuff for a number of years. There's a little phrase, and I'm going to highlight the phrase again. Hebrews 3, 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith... Now, what are the next two words?
Today.
See that? Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Now look at the phrase. What's it say there? While it is called today. Look at verse 15. While it is said today. Now jump to chapter 4, verse 7. Again, this is chapter 4, 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today. Now, did you see that repeated reference there to the idea of today? This is a new, kind of a new board, but it doesn't erase as good as the other one. That little reference out here, today. Think about that phrase. What's that mean? What does today mean?
Right now.
It means now, doesn't it?
Not that much, kind of right now.
Yeah, okay. It means now. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells the Hebrews about an event that happened in their history, and it's called the Day of Provocation. It's referred to as the Day of Provocation. Jump ahead to chapter 3. chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, now notice what happens next. What's the very thing that happens next? A parenthesis opens up. And it runs all the way to when?
End of 11.
See that? It runs all the way to the end of 11. So, verse 7, other than the first word, all the way to 11 is a parenthesis. So you can connect verse 7 with verse 12 based upon the warning in verse 7 through 11. So now let's go back to verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the what? Okay. There was an event that happened back here in Israel's history that he calls the provocation. And he's going to tell you what it is. Look at what it says here. Verse 7 again. As the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Okay, question. What is he talking about when he talks about the provocation? What event? Okay, you said Exodus. What more specifically? Okay, remember, God, through Moses, God brought Israel out of Egypt, Exodus. Then they went through the wilderness on the way to the land that God promised to give them. Now, what did they do on that journey? Journey-wise, they should have been there in about 3 or 4 days. Why did they wander for 40 years?
Start building a camp right away.
Yes, sir.
Everything.
All that. So what happens is this. Event after event after event, God demonstrated His Jehovah-ness to the nation. God demonstrated that He was the great I Am. I am who? I am whoever you need me to be. Fill in the blank. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your Savior. I am the Lord your Redeemer, and so forth. But Israel continues to go on in rebellion. When they get right to the threshold of the land, right at the border of the land, what does God tell Moses to do? He says, I want you to take one leader out of each of the tribes, and He told them who to pick, and I want you to send those 12 guys into the land, and they're going to inspect the land. They're going to go over all the land. They're going to map the land out, and they're going to come back, and they're going to bring some stuff from the land to show you that the land is full of milk and honey. Exactly what they're doing. You're going to spy out the enemies, where they're at. You're going to go out and find the borders of the land and so forth. You're going to come back. You'll divvy up the land and you will go take the land. I got a question for you. Was it a legitimate offer at that time for Israel to go into the land? Could they really and truly have gone into the land? Absolutely yes. The opportunity was there. It was legitimate. It was a true offer. When these spies, they're called spies, these 12 guys, when they came back out of the land and they brought the fruit of the land and so forth, what happens now? They didn't believe God, did they? 10 of them gave... Well, what's interesting is that they all started off giving a good report. They all said, man, exactly what God said is true. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. Man, our kids are going to do great. Our cattle's going to do... Oh, it's a wonderful land. But then...
But
yeah, exactly. The bad guys are there. The giants are in the land. And they were the giants. They were descendants of actually part of the connection of Genesis 6 and so forth. The giants are in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. So they were walking by sight instead of trusting God. So 10 of them gave an evil report. 2 gave a good report. And they said, wait a minute. They may be giants. God's kind of bigger than them. God can probably whoop them all, Joshua and Caleb, remember that? And so what happened at this time, because the nation as a whole listened to the evil report, therefore God said, look at verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my way, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. So God made a breach of contract with Israel. He said, because of your hardness of heart, you are not going in. All the males from 20 years old and upwards, they're all going to... You're just going to wander out here. And because they said to Moses that God brought them out in the desert to die, them and their children, God said, fine. You know, be careful what you wish for. And they did. And so what happens is this. Since that offer was legitimate, it was there, but because Israel didn't believe, what does God now do? He promises in David, in the book of Psalms, He promises that there will be another opportunity for a future generation. There'll be a window of opportunity for that future generation to enter in. Are you with me so far? With that picture in mind, if you were Israel, and it was in Psalms 95, so it was in the days of David, King David, when David was writing Psalms, that God promised that there would be another opportunity. If you were Israel and you lived David or forward, what would you be looking for? That next window of opportunity. How would you know if it was there? How would you know if the window of opportunity was there? God would tell you how to identify it in His book. Now with that picture in mind, let's just read Hebrews 3 and 4. Okay? Watch this. So look at verse 1 again. We're going to do this kind of quickly because we'll run out of time if we don't. He says this, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." And the heavenly calling, you remember, that certain noblemen went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. The heavenly calling there is that New Jerusalem is going to come down to the earth. He's going to bring the kingdom to the earth. He says, "Consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man, this man was considered worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." I don't know if you just caught it right there, but he just called Jesus Christ God in the verse. Anyway, let's keep going. I'm not going to get off into all the detail. "For Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken to be spoken afterwards. But Christ as a son." See, Moses was a servant, Christ was a son. Right? Is that David?
Yes.
How are you, sir? Thank you for coming down. Good, good, good. So he says at verse 6, "But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we." That's the Hebrews. That's not you. That's the Hebrews. "Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." So the offer is to the Hebrews here. You will be constituted together as the house of Israel. Again, not you here today. The Hebrews is to the Hebrews. And it's to them out there in that tribulation period. Okay? The offer is to them that they will indeed be constituted together as the house of Israel if they stay firm until the end. Now look what he does here. "Wherefore," now open the parentheses here, "wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and so they have not known my way. So I swear my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily." What's the next phrase say? When the book of Hebrews is in effect, where are you? You're at the today period. You're at that next window of opportunity. Look at the wording he says there. He says, verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it's called today." When the book of Hebrews is in effect doctrinally, it is going to be that window of opportunity for the Hebrews. You see that there? It is going to be that window of opportunity. That former generation back here in the wilderness, that provocation, they didn't go in, so the opportunity shut for them. But years later, through King David, God said, you know what? The opportunity for the nation to enter in, they didn't do it because of unbelief. So the land and the promise is still there for a future generation. So David, he said to David, you know what? There's a time coming when I'm going to make a new offer. When that today time period is going to be there again. And when you're reading the book of Hebrews, it's there. When that book is in effect, it is indeed the today for that nation. Look at how he goes on to say it. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. See what he's doing there? They are just like in that former generation. Those in the nation that didn't believe, they all died, and they did not enter into the land. That next generation did. So too, in that tribulation period, when this book is in effect, those out of the nation of Israel that refuse to believe, they are not going to enter into the kingdom. Those that do believe are going to enter in. See that? Let's keep going. Look what he says here. Look, now jump ahead to chapter number... look at verse 18 of the same chapter. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear. The us is the Hebrews. It's not you, it's the Hebrews. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know what the book of Hebrews is holding out to the Hebrews? The promise to enter into that kingdom. And those who refuse to listen to the Son by believing the book of Hebrews, they're not going to get in. That's the concept of enduring until the end. Okay, I'll get your question just a moment, because I got to get through this here. So look at verse 2. He says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." Unto them was what gospel preached? Yeah, the opportunity to enter into the blessing. The opportunity, the good news to enter into the land. He says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." I love that verse right there. Since the time God put Adam on the planet, he was ready to bring in the kingdom. One week later, the next Sabbath, he was ready to bring in the kingdom. It was all prepared and ready. Isn't that amazing? So now look what he says at verse 4. "For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day," there's that Sabbath, that original one, "on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first spoken entered..." "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Okay, think about his logic here. Here God had a promise to enter into his rest. But they to whom it was first spoken didn't enter in. Therefore, what must be true? Another group is... there's going to be an offer to a future group. See that? So he says at verse 6 again, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief," again he does this. He limited a certain day, saying in David. It's Psalms 95. Here's what he said in the days of David. He said, you know what, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Israel had the opportunity back here in the day of provocation. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. So the promise went unfulfilled. Not because of God's part, but because of Israel's unbelief. So God, several years later in David, Psalms 95, said, you know what? I'm going to limit another day. I'm going to limit another day. Hold on, because he had the next question. Then we'll get to you. Okay, real quick. And so in David, God says, you know what? I'm going to give to Israel another opportunity to enter into the kingdom, to enter into my rest. And Israel... when it is your today, you need to respond this time in faith. And those who don't respond, you won't get in. See what's going on there? And so when the book of Hebrews is in effect doctrinally, dispensationally, it will be that window of opportunity. It will be that today for them. That is phenomenal to think about that. And if you read the book of Hebrews that way, with that sense of urgency, with that sense of timing, that sense of Israel, their past history. And he's saying, don't do what that former generation did in unbelief. You go on. You endure till the end to get into that kingdom and inherit the promise. All right? Look again how he says it at verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day. The fact that he said he limiteth, what's that mean? He limiteth. If you limit something, what do you mean?
One more time.
One more time, and what'd you say? That's right. It ain't going to be offered forever. Israel is going to have that last 7-year window of opportunity to get in. Okay? Now, John, you had a question, and then Mike had a question.
Okay. In Exodus, there were obviously, of the spies they sent out, 2 that believed and were ready to enter in.
That's correct.
But because the group didn't do it, they didn't get to go.
That's correct.
The second time, you know, they may be only 2 that go in and the rest that don't believe. So the group is not going to hold the whole thing back like it did the first time.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Everybody understand what he said? And we didn't read the verses right here, but remember there was Joshua and Caleb and Moses that did believe God. The rest didn't. So they wandered for 40 years out there. So everybody 20 years old up or died. So that next generation, Joshua led them into the land. When this next opportunity comes up, there is not going to be a third offer. See, after that tribulation period comes, the kingdom's coming. So the offer is to the Hebrews, the nation out there, to listen. Did you notice how it said here? Verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice. How were they supposed to hear his voice? By, exactly, by the book of Hebrews. Look back at chapter 1. Look back at chapter number 1. How are they supposed to hear his voice? Look at chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days what? Spoken by his Son. It's the Son from heaven that told the writer of Hebrews to what to write in that book. The way they're supposed to hear his voice is by reading and believing the book of Hebrews out there in that tribulation period. So, and there's not going to be a third today. There's not going to be that third window of opportunity. There's going to be a whole bunch that don't believe. That's correct. Yes. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. Mike, you had the next question, I think.
Yeah. It's a little clarification. On the first today, if they would have believed, then he would have set the kingdom up.
That's correct.
Without the Messiah.
No, with the Messiah. Yes. Absolutely correct.
Okay, so that was the legitimate offer of the kingdom.
Legitimate offer of the kingdom.
Okay, I'm going to make sure I'm hearing you properly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's what he's indicating here.
If they would have believed.
You betcha, yeah. The only reason...
If they were not, they're going to set the kingdom up with them.
Yeah, Messiah had to come anyway. You betcha. The only reason they didn't enter in, according to this passage right here, and because of the passage in Numbers, is because of their unbelief, not because the offer wasn't legitimate. Okay, it was a true, legitimate offer. Tom, go ahead.
So is that where King Melchizedek or whatever that was?
Yes, he predates.
He would be the one that would come in.
Yes, he predated all of this, by the way, all the way back to Abram. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Melchizedek. He was king of Salem and king of peace. That's who the Messiah is for Israel. Interesting. Okay. Okay. Good. All right. So what we'll do next time then? If you take the information we went over last week and then today, and you just read through the book of Hebrews, I promise you it'll get you a whole different perspective of the book of Hebrews. And you'll understand that Hebrews is not written to you or about you as a member of the body of Christ. It's written to the Hebrews. And then, of course, followed by James, to the 12 tribes, Peter to Israel, John to Israel, Jude, and then Revelation, second coming of Christ. Okay? All right. So, okay. Well, let's go ahead and be dismissed, and we'll start here again in about 10 minutes.